I think I'm going to start in Job today. I'm going to try not to, but let's start in Job. In fact, if you ever want to learn about Job, you have to start at the end of Job before you go to the first of Job. So let's go to the end of Job. Job 42. Say amen when you're there. We'll start in verse 1. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. If you underline in your Bible, that's a great verse to underline. I have, verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, if you're underlined, this would be a good verse to underline. Eliphaz and your two friends. Why are they important? Because much of Job is written by these three men's comments. You know, not all scripture, all scripture is truth. Amen? It's the word of God. It is not by accident things are worded the way they're worded. It's not by accident that you hold in your hand a Bible that has been placed together. And I know that some people nowadays will start to argue about, well, you know, the man put the Bible together. Man can make mistakes. Absolutely. But how many know that God doesn't make mistakes? And how we believe the Word of God is truth. Is it so much truth that you can trust in it? Absolutely. You know, there's lots of translations and of the Scripture. And there's subtle differences in each translation. You know, and that's a healthy thing, if you ask me. You know, the best thing I've learned is that from meditation, where I meditate the Word of God, I take a book and I read it over and over and over and over, and with the help of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues, that those translational differences or errors are rooted out. That you don't have to be afraid to not trust the Word of God as truth. The only time the Word of God is dangerous is it's when a man preaches it wrongly. That's when you have to worry about it. Not the book, but the man holding the book. Well, not this man holding the book, but some man holding the book. Even this man you don't need to trust. You need to trust your revelation of the Word of God, because that's what you live out of. You know, you can hear someone preach a million things, but until you get it into you, it's not yours. And once it's yours, then it's yours forever. That's the power of revelation. It's something that stays in there forever, and the Holy Ghost can take that truth out of you anytime He wants to. So, I'm saying that because even though the Word of God is truth, and the Word of God is perfect, it's not an error, don't ever get confused. Listen, there's been an attack on the Word of God over the last generation to try to make it into a bunch of words rather than something that's incredible, powerful, And the moment you question, see, every one of us need an anchor. Say an anchor. We need a foundation. You know, like your dad. If your dad is a great mechanic and you're a girl and your car breaks down, who do you go to? You know, do you go to the mechanic down the street? You know, or, oh, you know, you can trust us. We'll take care of you. Or do you go talk to your dad? And what happens is one guy, a mechanic, tells you, well, it's going to cost you this much. Your dad says, no, it's a $5 piece. Who are you going to trust? Why? Because he's an anchor in your life. Your heart trusts him. Listen, it's very important that each of us put our trust in the Word of God. Not just our trust, we put our foundation of every belief we have into the Word of God. That we anchor ourselves and say, listen, I appreciate you telling me that, preacher. He's a preacher right here. So here's a preacher I like and I trust, but let's say he says something that doesn't click with my belief system. Now, if you ever hear a preacher say this, well, you just need to trust me on that. Okay. Here's a preacher, and if he says something that I don't understand, even though I love and respect him more than most preachers I know, but as a man especially, I have to find it for myself to make it my own truth. Because once it's your own truth, it's you. It's in you. And you've heard me say this before. Don't heap up yourself a bunch of teachers. You don't need a bunch of teachers. And I'm not trying to say only listen to the preaching from the prayer center. I'm not trying to say that at all. What I'm trying to say is where God puts you, He knows it's where you need. You have to be anchored somewhere. Anyways, I'm not trying to get on there. I'm getting chased off here. The Word of God has to be your anchor. And not just the Word of God. It's your responsibility to put your feet and anchor yourself deep into this Word with your truth that He's shown to you. Us preachers are only supposed to give you our version, our guidelines, to help you to say, oh, there is more. Oh, there is something deeper. There is something more truthful in there. But it's our responsibility to get anchored in. Say amen. All right. Don't let anyone tell you. All right. I will try to go back to Job in a minute. If I'm trying to get you to listen to me, there's a few things that happens. And I'm talking about people who have an agenda. Say agenda. You can feel agenda. I went home, see my family, hadn't been up to Canada for a little bit, but especially socially with people. I hadn't seen a bunch of old friends for a while, because when I first moved from Canada, my first year I went back and I had a week at home. I tried to visit everybody, all my friends. I spent like 10 minutes with each of them. And they're all mad at me because I didn't spend enough time. So then by the time it was 15 years later, I just seen my family, didn't really take the time to go see anyone else. Well, it's been 15, maybe even longer, maybe even 20 years. Well, it's probably about 16 years since I've met this man. I went up to Canada, took my kids, all right, Harrison, to go see something at play. And this man came up to me and said, Alan. I was like, hi. And you know, when you travel quite a bit, it's hard to put, you may recognize a face, but you're wondering what city you know that face from, what church, you know. And I didn't even recognize his face. And he talked to me like we're best friends. And I, you know, then you're stuck. Because you can't just go, who are you? Do I owe you money? You just, hey, how are you doing? So we're talking, and while we're talking, my brain is like not even listening to him as I'm trying to figure out, how do I know this guy? Well, I remember now, as we were talking at the end I remember, this is a guy that used to pick on me when I was a youth pastor. You're not good enough, you're not the best one, there's other people. But now he's talking to me, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. Man, I've been wondering how you've been. We miss you. It's so good to see. Hey, you know, me and my wife are having a barbecue at our house. We love to have guests. Why don't you come bring your wife with you and your kid? Bring them with you. We'll have this Sunday. We're after church. You know, we'll meet you at our house. I have make best steaks in the world, and we'll just have a get together and get to reconnect. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm here with my family. You know, I don't even know who you are. I didn't say that. I just said, sorry, you know, I'd love to, but just time. My mom would kill me if I went for steak with a stranger instead of with her. And later on, as I'm leaving, he said, oh, and by the way, you know, this is just a side thought, but, you know, me and my wife are selling this product, and I'd like to just give you my card in case you can't make it for dinner. And I thought, well, you dog, you're going to have me for dinner. And having get to know me, and I don't even like you because you didn't like me, and you're going to try to sign me up for something to make money because you know I'm a preacher, and you'll be like, yeah, you can introduce it to all these other churches. That's the agenda. When you see someone and they're being nice to you, they're doing things for you, they're you know, preachers can have an agenda. I used to be able to sit in services because I've been in a million of them, and I'd sit in services, and the presence of God would be good, or the power of God would be flowing, and I could nudge the person next to me and say, here comes the offering. I could tell when it shifted. I mean, and I'm sure some of you can too. There was a shift. There was a, this is the time you mentioned this, to get them to where they're be open for a bigger offer. There's an agenda. And the agenda means that I'm doing something for you. I'm either being a friend or a minister. I'm doing something for you, to you, with you. But hold off. Because behind all this is something pushing it. It's an agenda. I'm motivated for you. Does that make sense? And most of you know that. You can feel it. Women especially can feel it, you know. When they're single and some boy comes along and says, hey, I'll help you. You know, you're going to help me. Yeah, I know. There's been a downgrading in this generation. And I want to say this carefully. I am trying to get the joke, I promise. I mean, there's been a downgrading of respect for positions. And I'm sharing this to you as a pastor, I might say, would share to people that he cares about and he loves. Because I'm not trying to say it to you as a someone protecting a position or trying to control you or trying I'm saying this to each individual as a way of saying, watch out. Because the devil has an agenda, and it's been amazing how far it's been pushed in the church world. It's amazing how we can accept things today. Think about today, what's accepted in society that wasn't even 10 years ago. Think about that. Well, it's the same way in the church. There's been an assault on trying to get the sheep unfounded in the Word and unfounded or unanchored with pastors or men or women of God who are put in position by God to be shepherds of some type. Does that make sense? Am I saying that humbly, correctly? Because if I am a person that God has not put in to a place, a position, because you know God puts people in place. Oh, I need to say this again. God is the one responsible to put you in place of your calling, not you. And if God hasn't done it yet, there's a reason why He hasn't done it yet. It may be something small. It may be something big. It may be because he's trying to train you a little extra. But if you're not patient enough and obedient enough, and don't live by obedience, but live by feelings and by a sleight of agenda, then you'll start to get bored, tired, and try to step into it yourself. Now, let's say I come to my dear friend here, Elena, and she's anchored in two things. She is anchored in the Word of God, and she's anchored in a church. Now, let me pause here because I'm learning that many, many people around the world consider the prayer center their church, but they don't live here. Well, that's why I said you need to anchor yourself in the teachings of the church. And it's okay to listen to other teachers and extra. That's called extra. But when you let yourself get disconnected or uprooted as saying, you know, Pastor Dave, he's preaching today. Hallelujah. And I know what he's going to preach about. Praying in tongues. But there's this guy over here, and he's got miracles, and this guy over there, and he's got miracles, and they're talking about this cool stuff, this great new things. Now listen, I'm sharing from my heart for what I believe is what's best for a person. If I had someone sitting in front of me at a coffee shop who says, I'm from this city, I can't find a good church to attend. Every time I go, they try to harness me up, sign me up, make me do this, do that, and I just can't click. I used to back 15 years ago say, well, you need to find a church and go to it. But if you can't find a good church, I wouldn't put you in some churches just to go there. Because you'll end up causing trouble and getting in trouble. I would say, you don't have to go to church unless God leads you. But find a way to get rooted as you are part of a church. And I know it's hard because you don't have a pastor right there you can talk to. And you should become a leader. You should become one. So I'd say, root yourself in the teachings. Get connected through the teachings best you can. But if you're not rooted, you'll wander over to this side, and then in 5 years you'll wander over to this side, and 5 years you'll wander over here, and that's 15 years gone. Then 5 years you'll wander over here, 20 years gone. In 5 years you'll be over here, and 25 years. It's about if you're connected, God can maybe connected you for a reason. And get rooted. And trust. There has to be a trust in you that what God has put in you and the place He's put you in and the path He's put you on does not fail. I've watched so many people for my 20-some years of ministry, so many men of God that I looked up to and respect and still do, so many hungry men of God chasing after revival. And I've watched them. And I followed them for a little while. But one would go over here, then come back. And I've watched this happen over and 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 over. Trying to get revival without growth. And the new message, the sweeping message is coming across the country and across the world is how to walk with God without your cross. And so when there is a message that has an agenda, they have to do two things to get you. They have to come to Helena and they first have to get her uprooted from her church and unanchored from the Word. Because those are two things that keep her. Now, let me pause here because as soon as I say that, uprooted from her church, people think or may say, oh, you know, see, I knew it. He's trying to control her, trying to keep her. You know, when you love someone, you see a train wreck coming, sometimes you jump in front of that train to try and stop it because you love them, not because you're trying to control them. See, that secret word, control, that's a word they use. Because not all pastors are controlling. Not all pastors are after your money. Not all pastors are failing. They may not be walking on the path you're walking, or may not get to the place we say is the perfect will of God, but doesn't mean they're failing or they're after you or controlling. So I have to get her uprooted. I come over and say, hey, let me teach you what the Word says. And I have to win her. See? I have to win her over. And this is what's happening in America today. I have to win her over. So the first thing she says, well, Gary Carpenter didn't say that. Dave Roberson doesn't say that. Well, who are these men? They're just men. They're just men. Are you a man pleaser? That must be your problem. Because really, we're only supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit says. See, I'm not trying. It sounds like I'm trying to liberate her from control. But really, I'm just trying to take the position in her life that someone else has. Because I don't have an agenda. And whether I know it or not, it's the devil who is pushing that agenda through my insecurities and my weaknesses. Oh boy, I'm preaching. Okay. So once I get her liberated from her man or woman of God that God has placed in her life, now I have to go after the other part. She's a strong word woman, rooted in the Word. So now I've got to uproot her from that. See, I think it's just me liberating her because I want to be a minister, you know. I'll tell you something I believe. I appreciate everyone's opinion, but everyone has an opinion. In fact, I've lived my life too long. I'm glad I'm getting older, because as you get older, you don't care as much. You know, that's why you see people when they get older, they start doing things differently, you know. I could take some of my olderness now and put it into my younger self years ago. Everyone's got opinions. You can't live by other people's opinions. I don't really put much... help me, Lord Jesus. I don't put much care into anything anyone says unless they have some skin in the game of my life. Now, if you don't know what that means, when you play a sport and you get tackled, like a real sport, and you get tackled, I suppose in golf you could, you know, hit the ball and bounce off a tree and hit you or something. But you bleed, you lose some skin. You know, some skin's been shed. You know, they say you got to get some skin in the game. You got to play. Okay. I don't put much credit to any opinion anyone has in my life who doesn't have skin in the game of my life, who doesn't care about me, who has an agenda. I don't care what you think or what God told you, it may be right, but if you don't have skin in the game of my life, I'm not trusting you to teach me, to prophesy to me, to put anything into me. I only trust the ones that I know God has put me with. And sometimes it gets boring. Pastor Dave has taught the same message. I've been in over 1,000, probably close to 2,000 services with Pastor Dave. I can tell some of his stories better than he tells his stories. I can tell some of his jokes better than he tells his jokes. Sometimes we're together and he tells his joke and I'm like, no, it'd be funnier if you did this. You know, I've heard it so many times. But I learn something new every time. You know, that's why I don't stop and say, I've heard that joke before, Pastor Dave. You told that joke 3 weeks ago. Pastor Dave, will you step out of the room for a moment? No. Pastor Dave, you've told that story. I've heard that story. Yeah, I know. And one time he was telling the one about the nerd girl and the nerd boy, you know. And in Brazil, he's told it. And you're in the service on the front row. And you're like, yeah. And he told it extra funny. I was rolling and laughing. You know, sometimes he'll teach the same thing, but you'll learn something new every time. See? And you may think it's boring. Where's the new stuff? Where's the new stuff? Where's the fresh move? It's called growing up. That you're not moved because you don't get what you want or what you like. You only move when God tells you to move. And the depth of the revelation that you can have inside of you. When I first came here, I tried to calculate Pastor Dave's prayer time and Gary's word time. And I was like, man, I'm never going to get that much. You know, I know I got a few years on them, but it's going to be hard to catch up to those boys. You know, fasting, are you kidding me? How am I going to catch up to that? And the Lord had to rebuke me for quit comparing. Because what he told me was, all the work they did, you're going to have in you in a few years. See, because you get rooted in a place. If someone doesn't have skin in the game with you, where they've invested into you, they've cared about you, they've blessed you, and they just talk. They just have talk, and they don't have care. You should shut your ears off from them. Because truth without love, revelation without care, it can be dangerous. Don't let anyone remove you from where God's placed you. And don't be unrooted. I remember when I was just starting to go to church. I was 17, almost 18. And I was meant for church. And so we had two churches in our town. One was a smaller church, but very cool. The youth pastor was cool. All the popular Christians went to that youth group. One guy, he was the president of the school. This is a very secular school, class president or vice president. And he went to that church. He wore his Christian shirts proud in the high school. I was so amazed by this guy. He just oozed coolness. I think he's probably still extra cool and rich by now. And all the pretty girls went there. And there was another church, a big church in town. And it was good. They had, you know, a nice church, good faith word church and that. And so I went to both churches. I first went after chasing a girl, which you've heard that story from many of us guys before. God's greatest evangelism for unsaved men, girls. And so I went to church. I went to church Sunday morning at the cool church. I went to church Sunday night at the big church. I went to youth group Wednesday night at the big church. And youth group went Friday night at the cool church. And I did that for a few months. And I was having a great time making friends. And the Lord spoke to me in one service during worship. He spoke to my heart, because he'll speak to you even when you're 18. And he said, I need you to choose a church. And I said, what? He said, you need to choose a church. Why? Because you're being fed, but you're not being rooted. And I made the mistake of saying, you choose the church. Because right away he chose the big church without all the cool, cool people. So that day, here's what I said, 18 years old. Okay, God, I'm making a commitment to that church. Every time the doors are open, I'm going to be there. And I'm not going to leave till they're closed. This is what I said, 18 years old. Doesn't matter if my favorite preacher is across town. If my pastor is speaking, I will be there at his church. Now, you can take it for what it is. This is what I'm just saying I did. And that one decision, I believe, at 18, did more for me than anything else in my life up till that time. Because it allowed me to start to get rooted. And I've wondered for a while, because I've known, like, we have a multitude of people out and about around the country, around the world, who don't have a good church to go to. And my advice is to get rooted without having to go to a church that may not work for what the Holy Ghost is telling you, but you can still get rooted. You're not abandoned out there. You know, one of the problems I have with these TV preachers out there, the people who used to tell me, well, I watch TBN for my Sunday service, you know. Our answer was, well, who's going to help you if you're sick? Who's going to come pray for you, you know? But I also have another problem with churches now that have a pastor on the screen preaching to you every Sunday. I have a big problem with that. Not that the word's not good or the anointing's not good, and not that things can happen through that place, but what that does, it makes the people, anytime you are having church and you're watching a screen, it stops you from growing and getting rooted, and it lets you become a receiver all the time. God's heart is not to just make us receivers of knowledge and truth and of anointing. It's to make us grow and get rooted and become strong, that we can become the ones blessing the people around us. So there's a chance, if you're around the world listening to the Prayer Center messages, that maybe you're supposed to be the ones who become ministers and not receivers, not just receivers. And that it is possible, I believe, for you to get rooted. I'll look at the camera if they're watching. You can get rooted as much as we're rooted here. And you can get strong in revelation and truth. And my only advice for you is, if this is where God's put you, if you feel this is the place that God's put you as your main source of truth, of revelation, is to get rooted in with us. Become part of us. And don't, it's okay to go get other preachers and listen, but make one place your home. You always have to make one place your home. And you may not like it. There's times where I have been in a place where I did not like it. I did not agree with it. But God would not let me move. That's why it's so funny for me when people say, I'm offended, so I'm going to do this. I don't agree with that, so I'm going to do this. Well, did God tell you to do that? Or are you just doing that because you want to get your way? Because if you're rooted, even if you're mad, so I bless God, I can't believe that young Alan Taylor said this and that Pastor Dave did this, or get, I'm leaving. And you try to leave and you can't. You're like, I'm going to leave next week if they don't change. See, rooting is what keeps you when everything in you, the devil is pushing you and lying to you and yelling to you. All of us prayer people here, how many of you have been to a place sometimes where everything in your mind has justified leaving and quitting and going somewhere else? Hold your hand up. Absolutely. Every one of you. Every one of us have been to places on this walk. That's why our messages don't work in normal churches. On this walk where all hell has come against us and has pushed us to leave, pushed us to change course, pushed us to fix it. Pushed us so much that we thought we were right. But because you were rooted, even when you were trying to leave, it was too much work. And once that pressure left, or you walked through that attack, you came back to your senses and said, oh, hallelujah. Maybe Pastor Dave isn't crazy. Well, the devil never tells you Pastor Dave's crazy. He'll tell you Gary's crazy, but not Pastor Dave. I've learned at the prayer center, don't make jokes about Pastor Dave. I made jokes about Gary, the crowd cheers. Yeah, that's so funny. You know, my jokes have a little bite to them, you know, and I'll make jokes about myself, and I'll make a little tiny, little sweet little joke about Pastor Dave, and everyone gives me a frowny face, like, get a rope. Don't talk about our pastor that way. I'm going to meet you in the parking lot. Who do you think you are? You have to be rooted in things. If you're not, you're like a tumbling reed that can be blown around to the left and to the right. Winds of doctrines. There's been times where I thought I got some great revelation. I bounced it off of Gary Carpenter's teaching, and I thought, and it came back to me like, well, that doesn't agree with Gary. And I thought, well, I better double down and double, triple check this. There's been times I've had things that bounced against the way Tim looks at people. Tim's such a lover, he looks at people. I think, come on, Tim, let me just, I can, you know, back in the old days, if you just show any sign of not being in line, we just get rid of you. You know? And you got pastors here who love. Oh, it's like, come on, stop loving so much. I bounce things off of the men that God put in my life. See, I didn't put Dave in my life. I didn't put Gary in my life. You think it's by accident they're in your life? I didn't put these people in my life. And I don't have coffee with Tim every... I have a lot of coffee with Dave because I get to travel with him. God let me do that. But I don't spend time with these people, but they're in my life for a reason. They're there for a reason. And even though it may seem like accident, if they're in your life, then you need to pause and say, maybe God put these people in my life to help me. You get a young man, going to marry a young woman, you need help. That's so funny. You know, I kind of try to poke at that sometimes. Like, well, will God pick your wife? Well, in a sense, he'll help you. But if you want to take all the power and all the responsibility of putting that on God and saying, hey, God, you pick my wife. Amen. Then you forget your part. You're trying to get rid of your part, which is you better get to know her. Most guys, if you get married, you're lucky anyway. So it's usually the girl we have to worry about is like, you know, you should get to know this guy, you know, but God told me. But when you're young, you know, it's very easy to mix the voice of your emotions, especially when you come in love. You know, it's very easy to mix that with feelings, with what you think God wants for you. And if you can get, if you have a man or a woman in your life, a dad or a mom or a pastor or someone you respect, you say, hey, I got this boy. Or I got this girl, I want to marry him. I can, you know, usually they can tell you in about 5 seconds. There's some people got married and I thought, honey, I got one girl that I know. She's not saved, but she knows our family. We spend time with her once in a while. She keeps getting married and divorced. And then she got married and this guy went out on her over and over again. And I said, you need to quit picking your guys. You need to let me help you. Me and Christy will help you. I said, I could have told you in like 10 seconds this guy was a loser. What are you doing? There are people that God's put in your life who love you, who are here that God put in your life for a reason. Some of their reason is to help you not be destroyed 20 years from now. And you think they're trying to hold me back. No, they're loving you because they see 20 years from now. Some of you mamas know exactly what I'm talking about. They say when a little girl is 6, which is Ava's age, her mama is perfect. And then when she's 11, her mama's a little annoying. Then when she's 16, her mama knows nothing. Zero. Then when she's 20... 21, her mama knows a little bit. Then when she's 30, her mama really was smart. You know, and then when she's 35, her mama's the greatest woman in the world. Right? And that's like pastoring. There's people God's placed in your life to give you a little bump here and there. And when you start to disconnect, the devil can disconnect you and uproot you from that person or those people for one reason. So he can destroy you. There's been times in the Word I've got this idea, especially earlier on when I was all excited about meditation. I'd, you know, go through, I remember I went through one book the fifth time and I started to see some things. And I started to create this great deep revelation. You know, and Pastor Dave would tell me, you don't create revelation. It comes to you. And if it wasn't for the rooting that I had, not just in the Word, but in the men and women around me, I could have gone off into all kinds of crazy stuff. When you see these guys go off into crazy doctrine, craziness, it's because they're not rooted. They may have some rooted in the Word, but you know, you can take the Word and twist it any way you want. The devil has made doctrines out of using the word to prove it, to justify it. So the devil will come and try to uproot you as a person, to uproot you from the men and women around you, or the if you're not from Tulsa, you don't have a church, to uproot you. You don't have to be unrooted. Get rooted. Get your roots in. Because you can trust that the path he puts you on. Imagine some guy, the Holy Ghost. Here's what Pastor Day's book says. You can get it on Kindle, by the way. And you could, it talks about God creating a perfect will for you, a pathway that's perfect. And when you pray in tongues, it helps you to find that path. Can you imagine some pathway? And you're walking along, and all of a sudden there's a nicer path over here. Well, which one do I take? I've been on this path for a long time, and I haven't seen anything yet. Huh, I'll try this one. And off they go. You have to trust the path that God placed you on. You have to. No matter what it looks like or feels, there's been times where I've been so frustrated. One time I was in Tennessee, and I've been there for years, and I've always wanted to go to Canada and start a church, and I had an offer to go there. All of a sudden, this beautiful offer opened up right in the place that I wanted to go, that I felt God wanted me to go, and I was so frustrated. Say frustrated. I was frustrated because there's a natural frustration that hits you. And everything in me, and all I said, I heard God's voice tell me it's time to go. So I told a few people, but I was frustrated. Every day I hated going into the church. I hated it. I was so frustrated. But God told me it's time to go. But here's what I said. Say thank God for praying in tongues. Because you don't give credit sometimes for what tongues did for you. And I said, out of my great wisdom, thank God for praying in tongues. I said, God, I heard your voice. I'm planning on leaving. But, thank God for praying in tongues. But, because I'm in so much turmoil, and God never works in turmoil, only peace. I said, until I feel peace, I will not implement this decision to leave. And I decided to stay. And it was about a few months later, on January 1st, I woke up and all the turmoil had left, all the frustration had left, and the Lord told me, you were being tested by your soul. Your soul was trying to get you to do its will. But because you didn't, you passed the test. It's trying to uproot me from God's will. Going to go preach and do great things for the gospel, but not what he wanted. When you're rooted, it protects you from snakes. It protects you from agendas, and it protects you from yourself. The next thing the devil tries to do is get you unrooted by the word. He's going to try to get you to uproot yourself from trusting in the word, because sometimes the only thing you have is this. Sometimes this is the only thing you have. And they're going to tell you, you don't understand it right. You know, religion likes to take a gnat and choke on it. But it can swallow a camel. Here's what this means. I'm going to find something that, how do I say this right? I was preaching one time, and my mom brought a friend who didn't believe in praying in tongues or in miracles. It was a long, lifelong friend. My mom brought her to the church to hear me preach. Of course, my mom's super proud, you know. And this is a long, long, long time ago. And I preach, and I use the New King James. Sorry, Pastor Dave, he uses the King James Version. I use the New King James Version. But I was preaching out of the New King James Version. And if I could switch, I would, but I'm just too, the thus and the thous just confuse me. So this woman came to church, heard me preach, saw miracles in the service, and did not get prayed for. My mom, trying to drag her to the prayer line, still refused. Went home sick, died of it later. But what she told my mom was, "Your son is in error." Well, I'm surprised mom didn't beat her up right there in the parking lot, you know. "I know you're sick, but I'm gonna beat you up for you." But what she said was, "He uses the New King James Version. That's not the King James Version. The King James Version is the only Bible that God approves of." But see, religion will find one thing that they may be right about. Maybe you're right about it. Like, I'll go through, and the Lord told me one time, a preacher named Dave came by, and I was 19 years old, and I was already preaching, and when I tried to read the Old Testament names, it was horrible. I would slaughter the names of the people, the cities, the ites. I would just twist it. It wouldn't even be like, "Huh? Who? What?" You know, you could be reading the same thing and not know what I just said. And so I would struggle, and then I'd be preaching, and I'd start to panic and get red face and sweat. And this guy came by, and he prayed for me. And out of the blue, he just said, I wasn't even thinking about it, "You know those names you mess up? Don't even worry about it." So since that day, I've been set free. I still slaughter them. I just don't care what you think. So I can slaughter some name, and you can say, "He doesn't even know how to pronounce that name right." And by choking on a gnat, you're missing the big thing God's trying to get across. And that's what religion does. Religious people like to take a gnat and use it as the authority to say, "Look what I have that's right. Look. That's why I don't have to listen to them, or that's why you should listen to me instead of them, because I'll prove to you I'm right with my gnat. Look at this gnat." And there is an attack on the church today to uproot and pull out your foundation of the Word of God and your foundation of the body of Christ, the church. Because God has a heart for the church. He has a heart for the operation of churches. There's a reason why there's a calling to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, the administrations and ministry of helps and variety of tongues. There's a place for the body, for each person. God has a calling on you. It is not a group of people running around like a pack of wolves trying to do whatever they want when they want. There's order that God has for us, and there's a plan for each country, for each city that He has, and including His body. And you have a part in that body. And don't let anyone try to deceive you and say, "Oh, we're all just the same." We're not the same. We're the same as children. We're the same as family. We can walk in power. Yes, we can do all those things the same. You can know God just as well as as anyone else. Yes, that's all true. But in the jobs of the body, we have different places. Don't ever let an entrepreneur try to teach you, if you're not an entrepreneur, how to prosper. "Oh, you want to be prosperous? Just do this. Just go get a loan for $100 million and buy a bunch of buildings and you'll be rich." So, for him, that's normal. Because it's his calling. If someone doesn't have skin in the game of your life, they haven't put into you. Don't let them collect you. Stay rooted where you are. The Word of God must become our foundation. And someone might say to you, "I know it better than you do. And so you need to listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I know the Word better than you. I have some good training in this area and that area. So I'm going to get you to uproot yourself from your trust that you know the Word. Can I preach a little bit? I need to uproot you from your trust that you understand the Word, because I understand it better than you. And so you have to get rooted with me. Okay. See, that's why you look at pastors. Listen, I'm going to be honest. Or whatever. I would rather put my trust in a man I know or a woman I know who loves me, who doesn't know much of the Bible, than some person who knows a bunch of the Bible who doesn't love me. I've learned more about God from my mama than I have from any preacher. True story. The enemy will try to make you second guess that you know God. He'll try to make you second guess that you know the Word of God. Do other men know the Word of God better than you do? I know a lot of men who know the Word of God better than I do. And I'm a preacher. I often wonder why I'm preaching. You can only live out of what you know. Let me say this again. You can only live out of the truth of this word that you have in you. So in other words, it doesn't matter who knows more than you. They're not in your life. So don't let them uproot you or make you second guess. The only way faith comes is through believing this word is true. There's some people where you've been praying for your family. You've been praying for your loved ones, and nothing seems to change. If you're uprooted from the Word, you'll get discouraged because, maybe it's not working. I've been confessing. I've been praying. I've been believing, and nothing's changing. Maybe it's not true. If you're rooted in the Word, you say, bless God, I don't care what it looks like, little girl. You can try to run from God, but mama's praying for you, and you're going to be in heaven, so do what you want, but you can't run because there's angels around you. I'm going to go celebrate instead of cry because the Word of God is true, and everything going around you is a lie. For your calling, bless God, I've been praying. I've been believing God. I've been doing all these things, and it just doesn't seem like my calling's come to pass. Get in the Word. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Get out your prophecies and the blueprint that you have that shows you where God's taking you. Get out your prophecy and say, no, it says that this is where God wants to take me. So I have more confidence to be where I am because I know what God spoke over my life. Don't let the devil get you unrooted. He can't. No man can uproot you. But the devil can use people to talk you into getting uprooted yourself. Taking charge of your life, trying to fix the things that you think you deserve. Bless God, God wants me to be rich. He wants me, His children, to be prosperous. So hallelujah. How many know that's true? It's never a question how much you get. God would love all of us to have so much money that we buy out our neighborhood and give them their houses and say, come to revival. Yes, ma'am, I'm coming. God doesn't care about money. Money's not a thing for Him. He's happy if you use it for salvation. How much you want? We should have. If you pulled up in a Rolls Royce, pull up in a Rolls Royce. Someone gave me a Jaguar, brand new Jaguar that I can't even fit my kids in. I'd keep that sucker. I say, kids, you drive with your mom. That'll last about a week. Then I'd be driving the van. My wife would be driving the Jaguar. Yeah. I'd pull up and show it off. Look what God did. It's not what you have. It's how you get it.
And if you start uprooting what God has you because you're like, oh, I'm in poverty, I'm following God. You're not in poverty. If you're following God and you have that much, you're living within your means. That's prosperity. Poverty is when you take control and say, bless God, I'm cheap. You look at your wife and say, we're going to follow God because we are cheap. Living with your means is different because that's saying, God, I'm following you. And if this is what I have to do to follow you, I want to do it with all my heart and be blessed with what I have and thankful for everything I do have. In some countries, you know, there's some cities where, you know, that mall you go to, that nice mall we have here in town, the real nice one. There's people that wouldn't even go to that mall. It's like, that's the low class mall. There's malls out there where you have to have a lot of money. So you may think you're poor, but you're probably rich. In some people's eyes, you're rich. This message, I think I'm going to do another one. I'm going to get into Job, but this is exactly some of the stuff that happened with Job. Job had three friends. And when you look at Job, you'll find that those three guys spoke in Scripture. You can read what they said, but it's not truth. Okay, what they said is wrong. It doesn't mean the Word of God is wrong. You just have to know who said it. There's one scripture where it says, God can't hear the prayers of sinners. For years, I would say that. God can't hear the sinners' prayers. Well, how do you get saved then? You know, when you look at it, I think it was a Pharisee who said that. It wasn't Jesus who said that. It was a Pharisee. It just recorded what he said. Well, in Job, you'll find out that much of Job is these three guys' opinions on why Job is in trouble. One of them, Job, you're in sin. That wasn't God speaking that. That was this man speaking that. And God was offended at it. So we'll get into Job. But part of the heart of Job, don't get uprooted from the Word of God. And don't get uprooted from the place that God put you. Because He put you there. He knew what it was like when you got there. He knew it. He's not surprised. I'll close with this. I was preaching a while back, and we were going through some warfare and battle, and it's like you're hoping when you're going through struggles and warfare, because it's emotional too. It's not just lack of finances, or it's emotional. You feel sometimes you walk through this and this, that emotional terrorist comes and makes you feel like you're a failure. Why try? You know, that's when praying gets hard, or just getting up and going to church gets hard. But why try? Because I got this failure on me, and you're just starving for some glimmer of victory, you know. And what I saw when I was preaching right in the middle of that, right when I'm thinking, just give us a little sign of victory, you know, just a little one, please. I saw God stand with a flag and stick it in the ground and go poof. And when He did that, I saw the move, like this sound wave go across the land. And all of a sudden, all these devils that weren't fighting us got their attention and go, oh, there's a fight over there. It's like He picked another fight for us. They come and get some more. If you're unmovable from where God put you and all hell's coming against you, you think He's surprised by that? Do you think He's surprised by what you're going through? If you say today, I've been praying for all these years, I've been confessing all these years, I've been worshiping all these years, I've been fasting every couple days a year, I've been doing all these things, I don't see it working yet. You're looking at the wrong place. You mean you've been doing all these things to hear God, follow God, and be faithful to God? And it's still not working? maybe it is working. Maybe we need to quit looking at the wrong place for success and realize, hey, God, I'm right where you want me. All right, where you put me. The devil's tried to move me. People tried to move me. My own brain's tried to move me. Look, I'm right here. And it's all hell. But hey, look, my hands are up and I'm worshiping God because there's no safer place to be in the world than where my God has planted me. Amen. You are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock. God bless you.